We'll continue our series this Sunday on a new focus, trying to give us a new focus in life. For the past several sessions, I've been working through the class I taught several years ago on stayed mind and the peace of God, which you, of course, can listen to on our fellowship website anytime. But each topic in it, and there's something like eight topics covered in that class, I thought each one of them would be appropriate. I actually skipped one this week. There's one on the secret of radiant living, which is one of my favorite teachings, but I did it with this group in July, so I decided not to repeat it. But you can hear it on the fellowship website from when I taught it in July or with the class, Stayed Mind and Peace of God, if you'd care to review that one. But we're going to go on to the next topic in that class, which is giving thanks always. And thankfulness is one of those things that I think is greatly unappreciated for the greatness of what it has to offer in our lives. We sometimes seem so much focused on setting goals and charging ahead and accomplishing things, which are all good. And they're talked about in the scriptures, and people in business and sports and many areas of life talk about that. And it's good to have goals, and it's good to want to charge ahead. But if you don't have some thankfulness thrown in, you're just never happy. You're just never satisfied because all you're doing is worrying about the next project and you forget to just step back and remember all the things God's done for you. It's a great way to live is to be very, very thankful for what God's given you and be very content with the blessings He's provided for your life, yet at the same time, have vision that you can move ahead to see God do even greater things for you. So we spent a lot of time talking about a vision and praying and moving ahead, and those are great topics. I highly encourage everybody to have great vision for their lives and to ask God for great things to come to pass in their lives. And like many of the things we prayed for at the beginning of fellowship, sometimes we pray for people with some type of problem that it be solved. Other times we pray that they move ahead in a positive direction with the things of God, and these are all great things to pray for. You can see many examples in the scriptures, and God encourages us to. Yet as we're doing that, if we take some time to simply be thankful for what He's already done, not only will our lives be much more peaceful and much more content, but we'll have greater confidence that God can help us with that next problem, because we'll simply be remembering what He's already done for us. So let's go to Philippians 1. And I know none of this comes as a surprise to you, but it's in the Word, so we're going to read about it. Philippians 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Every time Paul thought of those Philippian believers, he thanked God for them. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Every time he prayed for them, he made requests to God with great joy. And he thanked God, verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Just from the first day they heard about Jesus Christ, how they stuck together in the Word of God. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Everybody, including me, has a tendency at times to remember the good old days and think about things God used to do. And sometimes people think of their own lives. They think of a period in their lives that they think is just perfect. Of course, they forget the troubles and tribulations they went through and just remember a few positive things. And they're so concerned about that, they figure that that's the best they're ever going to do in life, and they don't believe they're going to ever accomplish anything greater or have a time as good as that. Other people go all the way back to the time of, pick somebody, Paul, Jesus Christ, Moses, Abraham, Elijah, Daniel, anybody that they really relate to in the scriptures, Joseph, anybody they relate to is a great person that walked with God. And they think, boy, God was great for people back in those days, but he won't do anything today. Well, this verse is very clear in verse 6 that, well, let's read this again, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God did a great thing. He sent his Son, and then doing the good work in you involves having the new birth, God in Christ in you, born within. And then we all know God has continued to help us. We all can think of so many ways God has helped us, and God has shown us things, and God has opened doors for us, and God has protected us, and God has directed our paths and supplied our needs and done so many things for us. We have to remember that he's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is not going to stop taking care of you until the Lord returns. And then when the Lord returns, then everything changes. Your body's changed, so it's eternal. We're with the Lord. We're entering the period where eventually the devil will be thrown into the lake of fire. Everything's different at that point. And God takes care of us in other ways, that some of which we understand, much of which won't be revealed until that day. But until that day, when you hear the trumpet and the dead in Christ rise, God is going to keep working to protect you, supply your needs, direct your paths, give you the desires of your heart. And that's one of the things Paul was thankful for. He was thankful that these wonderful believers in Philippi stuck together. They had fellowship in the gospel. They had full sharing. They believed the word. And you can go on and on about the many things they did that Paul was thankful for. But mostly, he was thankful that God would continue to take care of them until the day of Jesus Christ. I was thinking of that line that's not in the scriptures, but it fits right with this, that today is the first day of the rest of your life. And we have to remember that. As long as we have breath, and as long as the Lord hasn't returned yet, we have great things to look forward to. We have, well, what's another great line that's not in the scriptures, but it's very true, that the future is as bright as the promises of God. Sometimes we think the future is always as bright as my intellect, or only as bright as my bank account, or only as bright as my personality, or my sense of humor, or my popularity, or pick any other term that people think is so dang important in life. Well, those are all those things are important in life. They are all part of life. But God is greater, and God can provide in all those areas. So the future is as bright as the promises of God, and today is the first day of the rest of your life. So we've got to decide, am I going to be stuck in the past? Am I going to sit here and be miserable about things that aren't working, or things I've lost, or things that aren't going quite the way I'd like them to? Or are we going to realize that God is not going to forsake us? He'll be right with us until the day of Jesus Christ, until the return of the Lord. So let's just get excited about the great things God has in store for us, and at the same time be thankful for the many, many things he has done for us. I would say a good little mental exercise might be to think of everything God's done for you in your life so far and pick a number, multiply it by 3. I would say more if you had the believing and confidence, but let's pick a conservative number. Look at everything God's ever done for you, multiply it by 3 and expect that. And that's quite a lot, because there's no limit on what God can do for us. The limit is how much are we going to be confident in him. Remember what it says in Psalms, that trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The things you really want deep down inside, God can give you. And the way you get it is simply get delighted in God. Get delighted in the things of God. Make that your pure delight. Now, I know there's other things. You can have your favorite food and be delighted in that. You can watch your favorite show and be delighted in that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But don't make that the focus of your whole life. Make the focus of your life being delighted in God. And then you'll just have more of the things that really bless your life and really make you happy. The desires of your heart. Well, I got a little off track there, but that's what I do. Philippians 4. Here we go. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Here we go, Philippians 4:6. Let your moderation Let your moderation here in Philippians 4:6 be known, or your gentleness, your lack of being worried and upset about everything. Let your moderation be known unto all men. And again, let your moderation be known unto all men. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. God's here. He'll take care of you. Be careful or anxious for nothing. Just don't worry about anything. Most people have one, two, or three things that they just fret over a lot. Sometimes every minute of the day, sometimes an hour a day, sometimes 10 minutes a day. But just try to work with your mind to fret about nothing. But instead, in everything, by prayer, where we're simply praying and asking God for help, and supplication, which is making specific requests, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So you see, God puts thanksgiving in there with those prayers. Do like I said, think about what God's done, multiply it by three, and start expecting that to happen in your life. Start looking for it, start praying for it. Or if you've been praying for it, keep praying for it with even more determination, even more confidence. But as you're doing it, have great thanksgiving. Sit back and say, yes, I am praying for more of ba-dump-a-dump to happen in my life. And think of the times God took care of me in that area of my life. Think of what he gave me. Think of the doors that opened. Think of the successes I had. Yeah, I know I had some failures and some heartbreaks and things that didn't work. But think of what did work and how God did come through for me. I'm expecting that to happen more and more. So just be thankful for what he has done for you while you pray for the other things you need. And not just for yourself, but for other people. You know, somebody that has needs in their life, be thankful for the areas God's helped them. Be thankful for how they've gotten this far in life, and simply pray that they will go further. So again, verse 6, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, and prayer with specific requests, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what's going to happen? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So that's what we do. We let our requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Here we go, Ephesians 5. And verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And this is great. I know we like to sing as a group when we're together there at the Dundons. I know people love sing-alongs and church hymns, and they're great stuff. But this is a little different. It's singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So even if there's nobody else around, even if you don't have a big congregation that wants to sing with you, you make melody in your heart to the Lord, because that's with you every day. Even if we got up here and we sang for an hour and have a band and a big professional choir, that would be a fun show we'd watch for an hour. But what about every single day you can sing and rejoice and make melody in your heart to the Lord? Because the important thing is you trust God, you know the Lord is with you, and you know he'll never forsake you. So here again in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now look at this, verse 20. Giving thanks, how often? Always. For how many things? All things. Unto God and the Father. It could be, you can take the "and" out. See, it can be translated very legitimately, simply God the Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So give thanks always for all things. That's one thing you can always do. If you find yourself in a pickle and you're a little upset, a little discouraged, a little confused, just take 10 minutes, sit back, pray, and be thankful. And just pray and say, Father, I'm so thankful for this, and list everything you can. And some people can't think of anything. Well, they're just not being either imaginative or honest or clear or whatever word you want to use, because there's air to breathe. There's a sun that shines, so we're not just a barren piece of rock and ice here. Most of us have food to eat 3 times a day, sometimes more. We have water to drink. We have roofs over our heads. We have clothes to wear. We have cars to drive. We have houses to live in, jobs to go to, ways to get paid, friends that love us, believers that pray for us, the Word of God that we can read. And I'm just sort of going on and on. Those are just the things we all have. And you have specific things in your life that God's done for you that are different than what He's done for me. And I might have something specific He did for me that's different than what He did for you. So you can just go on and on. But at some point, you got to quit being nervous about the one thing you don't have and be so thankful for the things you do. And as you do, you'll have more confidence in God to pray for help in that one or two or three areas that really are bugging you. So it's great. Here again in verse 20 of Ephesians 5, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 12, Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. There's going to be a great inheritance when the Lord returns. Tremendous inheritance. We're God's heirs. I don't know everything that's going to happen in the next administration. We only know the little bits. in pieces God's told us about, but it's going to be tremendous, and we are God's heirs. So whatever He's got to offer, which is a lot, we all get our fair share of it. And God has made us adequate, not through what we have done, but through the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. There are times we all feel sometimes we don't measure up. Maybe you're trying to get the approval of somebody in your job. Maybe you have your own business and you're trying to get the confidence of one of your clients or customers. Maybe there's some relationship where you're trying to get people to, you know, accept that you're a good person they want to be around. There's all kinds of things where we might not feel we measure up. Maybe you're trying to pass an exam. Maybe you're trying to get into a program that has very strict entrance requirements. We all have these things in life where we wonder, do I really measure up? Well, in this world, sometimes you measure up, sometimes you don't. Sometimes there's three people applying for something, and whoever is making the choice likes the other person better, and that's going to happen in life. But this is where God has made us adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What could be better than being adequate to be God's heir? And God has made us that way. He made us adequate. We didn't even have to fill out an application. Well, we did when we believed in Jesus Christ, you know, accepted Him as Lord and believed God raised Him from the dead. That was our application process. And in return, we received the new birth, and part of that meant being adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So let's go back and read that again. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of the darkness, and hath translated or transported us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So we know that we're, as far as God's concerned, we know from Ephesians that we are seated at God's right hand in the heavenly places. That is our true position, is at God's right hand. Now, we're still on this earth until the Lord returns, and it says in Philippians that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors. We're in a foreign land, this world, but our true home is being seated at the right hand of God in heaven, in the heavenlies, which is why it says God's transported us to the kingdom of His dear Son. But we're going to be in these bodies on this earth until the Lord returns. And in the first verse we read today, it said God will take care of us until that day, the day of Christ, the day when His Son returns. Great stuff. Let's go to Colossians 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. We've received the new birth, so we are now encouraged to walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Isn't that great? Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Another translation is simply overflowing with gratitude. We should just overflow with gratitude. Sometimes people let us down so badly, or we let us ourselves down so badly, or other circumstances seem to work against us, that we get a little negative. We get a little grumpy. We get a little out of sorts and don't have a very good perspective. And that happens to all of us. But the encouragement of the scriptures is that because we've received Christ Jesus the Lord, and because we can walk in him, meaning simply walk according to his word, and because we've been rooted in him and built up, we've been established in the faith, we should abound therein with thanksgiving. We should just abound. We should just be so thankful for what God and his son Jesus Christ have done for us, and the great access it gives us to all of God's riches and greatness, that we should abound with thanksgiving. We should overflow with gratitude. God has given us so much. We've all heard stories about spoiled children that grow up in an atmosphere where every single thing is given them and they don't appreciate it because they never had to work for it. Well, that is the way we would be, because God has done so much for us and given us everything, and his son sacrificed his life for us. If we can't be thankful for it, and if we have the nerve to get mad at God or not be thankful for the many things he's given for us, we're nothing but spoiled children. And there's no benefit to that. God can't help us. God can help us when we're thankful, when we trust in him, and when we ask for his help. We want to abound in thanksgiving. We want to overflow with gratitude. Colossians 3, verse 15. You know, notice a lot of these verses here have the peace of God and thanksgiving. So, sometime back when we were probably a month or two ago when we were reading the section specifically on the peace of God, we probably read a lot of the same verses. But the emphasis that day was on the great peace we have. Today we're reading the same verses, but looking at it from the point of view of the importance of being thankful. Here we go. Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let it be the main thing going on in your hearts. And this is so important to me that it says rule. Something's got to sort of dominate and be the major umpire, the major thing that determines everything else. And in our hearts, God says it should be the peace of God. Let that be the main thing. In other words, organize your life so that the thing that predominates in your life, the thing you put the focus on, the thing you give priority to, is having the peace of God in your hearts. And that doesn't mean you lock yourself in a corner in a box and never talk to anybody, because I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be very peaceful that way. You can be very busy doing lots of things, talking to lots of people, working on many projects, going lots of places, and still be very peaceful. Because as we'll see, and as we have seen, being peaceful in life means focusing on God and trusting that he'll take care of you. It doesn't mean sitting in some remote location and where there's no traffic and no people to disturb you. That may work for a small amount of time, but really to have peace is not a matter of isolating yourself from the world. It's a matter of focusing on trusting God. Now, if getting away for a period of time to pray and be quiet helps you, sure, do it. But that can't be your whole life. Sure, Jesus Christ got up early in the morning and went out and prayed, but then he spent the rest of the day among mobs of people teaching him. The Apostle Paul didn't go hide somewhere in the mountains. He went out among folks in cities and places where there were people that he could help. Same with our lives. We need to be willing to reach out to people. And hiding from the world is not the answer. It's trusting God that even though we're in the world, he will take care of us. So, Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye what? Thankful. It's a command, so we can do it. We wouldn't be told to be thankful if it wasn't something we could decide to do. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And what it takes to have it dwell richly in you is up to you. Again, we've talked about this. You can read the Bible a lot. You can listen to teaching tapes. You can get two verses and meditate on them all day. You can plaster them all over your refrigerator with magnets. You can have it be the screensaver on your computer. It doesn't matter how you do it. What matters is that you get enough of the Word of God in you that it dwells there richly. Everybody has their ways of doing it. There are times a day when they like to read the Word. There are things they like to meditate on. There are times they like to pray. You figure out what works for you. And if you can't, ask God. And then many times while you're asking God and praying, you get this great new idea about a different way to read the Word, or a different time to read the Word, or different things to pray for. And that's simply God working in your heart, telling you what to do. And then you go do that. And if after a while that gets bored or repetitive, ask him for something else, and you'll do great. So here in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace or thanksgiving in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. And again, you can leave the word "and" out, giving thanks to God the Father by him. Colossians 4, verse 2. I'm glad we're reading this. Thanksgiving is a very big deal to me. On days when I remember, I have a great day. On days when I get distracted, it's not as much fun. So I'm very glad to read these with you. And when I'm talking to you about what to do, half of it's just trying to get myself together. We all need this. Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So he says in verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So you see, prayer and thanksgiving are together, and what he's asking them to pray is that doors would open so he could speak the word. What a great thing to pray for. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So rejoice evermore, never stop praying, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. So the will of God is for you to rejoice, pray, and give thanks. So it's always the will of God for you to give thanks. You may have one or two things that are driving you nuts, but I bet you got 100 things to be thankful for. So pray for God to help you on a couple of things that are driving you nuts, but also be thankful. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. So that's quite a thing. Paul, of all people, if you'd had an election in the first century church, would not have been voted in the leader of the church. He's the one that caused all kinds of trouble, going around to fellowships, having people dragged off to prison, some of them to be executed. Yet God counted him faithful. Let's read that again. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace, the divine favor of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You see, people will tend to throw you under a bus anytime they want. Not God or his son Jesus Christ. God and his son Jesus Christ saw potential in Paul and gave him a chance. And as we know, he had a brilliant ministry where he reached so many people, and he was able to receive the revelation of the great mystery, the grace of God moving beyond the Old Testament law. God was able to do so many great things working with Paul. And so Paul was thankful that he was put into the ministry, that he obtained mercy, he obtained grace. And that's a great thing to remember, because there are times when people will give up on you. And because people give up on you, you will be tempted to give up on yourself. But just remember, God never gives up on you. I'm all for people being with you and trusting you and believing you and helping you and encouraging you. But that just never seems to happen as much as you need in life. As much as you have people that love you and care for you, they don't seem to be there every time you need them, and they don't seem to be able to do everything you need. So be thankful for the people you have that love you and care for you and pray for you and believe in you. But realize that no matter how much they do for you, there will be other things you need in life. And that's where God will come through for you. So let's read that again. 1 Timothy 1:12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, nevertheless, for this cause I obtained mercy. And then it goes on and on. Good stuff. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm about to wrap up here in a minute. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I exhort, I encourage, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and what? Giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. So we're going into another election season. You can expect the country to be very divided and everybody to be mad at each other for many months. Well, we live, thank God, in a place where you can have your own political views and vote any way you want. But just remember, our responsibility as Christians, is to pray for leaders and all that are in authority, give thanks, and just expect that we'll be able to continue to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That's my thing. I, like everybody, have candidates I like, candidates I'm frankly rather scared what would happen if they got elected. We all have those views, but I know God's going to take care of us, so I'm honestly not worried. I'm a little perturbed and perplexed at times, as I'm sure you are, based on your views on these issues, but I'm not worried because I know God's going to take care of us, and we'll continue to live great lives trusting God. So we be thankful even for our political leaders. And Philippians, we'll go to Philemon. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. Wait a minute. Yeah. I got confused here for a minute. Hebrews. Oh, Titus. No, Philemon. It's here somewhere. I got a little confused. Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Yes, Titus and Philemon, between Titus and Hebrews. Just haven't read Philemon for a while. Philemon, verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith, of thy believing, may be effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That's how we become effectual or effective in communicating to others the great confidence, the great believing we have in the true God, is by acknowledging every good thing we have in Christ Jesus. Acknowledge what we have in the new birth. Acknowledge the eternal life we have. Acknowledge that we can operate 9 manifestations of the Spirit and receive 9 fruit of the Spirit as a result. So many things to be thankful for. So many reasons to trust God. And as we do that, we'll just have great confidence, be able to communicate the word. But let's go back to verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. And so, if you had to think, remember one thing from what we read today, there's so many great ones. Thank God and make mention of the saints in your prayers. So wake up tomorrow morning and say, it's Monday, what am I going to do? Well, I got a lot on my to-do list, but for sure, I'm going to thank God and make mention of the saints in my prayers. So let's have a great week doing that. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful saints. I thank you that we can be thankful every day this week and the week ahead, expecting your blessings in every way. I pray for my mother that she gets through those various tests and whatever her little health scare was, and that she gets back on her feet immediately if she's not already. May you bless her and my other family members around her. And I thank you for each and every person here on the call and those that will listen to this teaching on the website. May you bless them. May you help them with those areas of concern in their lives. May you bless their loved ones, their livelihoods, their homes, everything about their lives. Thank you for this, the joy of believing you, the joy of walking with you, the joy of knowing your word, being able to live it, and expect your blessings every day. Thank you for this, and the joy of walking with you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.